All right, fantastic. So, welcome to another episode of Sledge Underground. It's myself, Marcel, and I know introduce yourself and what it is you do to the people who might not know who you are.
Yes, I'm Honor Carstens, and I'm a professional wannabe tennis player, wannabe horse aficionado, and archaeologist and scientist. But for most people, they just call me Dr. Carstens. Now, you didn't see that one coming.
No, that one
Okay.
caught me off guard completely.
All right, cool. We can do it. We can do it again. I'll get to the point. So, hi, I'm Arno Carstens, and I'm a musician. I've been a musician my whole life, and I've been doing it professionally for 30 years. Started out with the Springbok Nuutgool band, then went solo, then back with the Springbok Nuutgools and solo, and then just doing anything artistically to make money. That's my mission in life.
No, absolutely. I mean, you said you've been doing this for 30 years. Springbok Nuutgool started in 94. That's one hell of a track record to have for 30 years of experience in the South African music scene and also playing elsewhere with a whole bunch of big names as well. If you could summarize that 30 years into a couple of words, what would that be?
That's 30 years of being quite in a lucky situation where the people that when we started out as the people enjoyed what we were doing, thank God for that, because otherwise we wouldn't have gone anywhere. Somehow that created enough money to create albums. It created means to actually do what we wanted to do when we were school kids. And that is to make music and make art. I'm one of those lucky people that's been doing the same things, the same cool stuff that what I've been doing since I was 16, 15,
So when the Springbok Nuutgool started, you were 15, 16 years old. You guys started out in high school.
No, I started writing music when I was about 15, 16. So the Nuutgools started when I was about 20, 22, 23. But I've been writing music for since 15.
Damn, that's a one hell of a track record. That's impressive.
Well, it's only because our radio stations were so crap.
You needed to do something better.
I used to listen to radio and used to go, oh God, man, I can write a better song than this. This is fucking terrible. Thank God to South African shitty radio stations. It's actually a big inspiration for.
Absolutely. I mean, like, one of the biggest things is that if hopefully things should inspire you to do better, and if you can do better, why not? And inspire other people to do better.
It creates little pockets of gangs in small towns. Or that was my experience when we were younger. So I had two friends, and we will import music from the UK and Europe and America, stuff that you can't get in South Africa. And it was quite a niche club of the cool kids. You create your own little world. So music was much more than just background music. It was a bit of a social club in a weird way. The way we grew up and our relationship with music is probably different today.
It's a lot easier to just these days sort of isolate yourself with music. You don't really have to meet people. You can just kind of sit in your room and either make music or find whatever it is you're looking for, like the click of a few buttons.
People these days are so, I think the kids these days are much more into gaming. I mean, gaming is much bigger than music. And the social interaction happens on gaming, where they're sitting alone at home, but they're actually in a massive group of kids talking. And music is just a backdrop for it, actually.
I don't know. Yeah, I think music would also be a big part of that. I mean, like I'm kind of the in between generation there. I do spend a lot of time playing games and with friends and stuff like that. And I know a lot of us are musicians ourselves, and
Oh,
we
really?
tend
Okay.
to communicate that way. There's a couple of streamers out there who sort of merge their content as music and gamers, and it's a very interesting mix of how they do that.
If you can get your music onto the gamer thing, it's very cool. Springbok Nuutgools had a song called Gang Gang, and somebody made a music video out of it by using, you can check it now on YouTube. It's some game. And I mean, it's fantastic when a song sits well with the action of a game graphics. I fucking love it. So I wish they would do more of that.
I think that would be called an AMV, and by the looks of it, it was to Final Fantasy. That's pretty sick.
Yeah, it's very cool, man. Are you allowed to do that? I'm sure Final Fantasy, I mean, we didn't do it, so, but it's quite cool.
You guys would obviously have the right, like, for copyright claim versus against this. And I think Final Fantasy, because it's it falls under what's fair use, so they're shaping and they're changing it. So, like, the whole internet fair use policies, I think for the sake of the Final Fantasy side of things, that would count as fair use. But for you guys, it
All
would
right.
be, you could just, because it's your song in its entirety posted up on a different YouTube channel, I mean, that's, you know, something that you guys could claim as a, most likely, you guys are under a label, correct?
Yes, and I'm actually quite, I'm quite amused that Sony didn't pick up on that. But, you know, I think it's done more good than bad. And that is, you know, a thing that I'm not very mad about big record companies is when your music is on there, they just shut it off, which is quite crap.
I mean, like, in some circumstances, depending on what the person's trying to do, like, if it's transformative, where they're using it in a different context and using it in a sort of a different art form, you know, that kind of makes sense. But you do get people, the reason why it exists in the first place is for people taking advantage of it, like, sort of monetizing those videos, and then now they're making money off of, say, for instance, your music. That can be frustrating.
Yeah, but what the problem with big record companies is that there's blanket rules.
Yeah.
And the fact is, every region is so different. Some artists, it might be in their interest to put their music onto Facebook. You know, I don't, or TikTok. You know, you can totally break people like that, and then. And I'm not 100% sure, but for instance, if you just take one of my songs and you put a thing onto it and you put it out there, they will just, Sony will pick up on it and they will just instantly take off the thing, which in some circumstances, I think you should be a bit more playing the game of being creative if you're in that sphere of work.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are certain exceptions to it. And I do agree with you that blanket approach can be more detrimental.
Stifling, yeah.
I mean, there was the whole thing with UMG recently where they removed pretty much the Universal Music Group, where they removed all of their music from TikTok, for example. And none of the artists had a say in that. And a lot of the artists had been spending money to market themselves on TikTok only for all of their sounds to be removed. And that's caused a huge backlash.
Yeah, that sounds like a box of chocolates.
Yeah, so people, there were a whole bunch of artists, obviously, you know, how UMG covers like thousands, if not tens of thousands of artists. And it's not like they had a say in that. And then suddenly, boom, all that money wasted because now their main platform for marketing, their music.
Well, that's bad communication, number one. You should have let your artists know you're going to do that. I don't know. Once again, you see, these smaller artists, not everybody's Beyonce. That is the fun part about being on your own and not with a record company is the kind of guerrilla warfare tactics of doing business, of selling your music. So I've got a couple of albums that is not with record companies. What I did with my last one is when I launched it, I did kind of a shitty stream, but what I did is I recorded us all the songs were on click and we played it in the format of the album, and I recorded us playing it in front of a massive green screen. Then I mixed down the live versions and I made a video of each song, and then I sell the song as a NFT, the video as an NFT, and I sell the song as an NFT, and then you make enough money to record another song.
I would never have even considered that possible. I do have to ask though, like, what's it like having known to, or God, how do I word this, but having written like a song that kind of became legendary in the South African scene, like with Another Universe. And, you know, there's still people who have like super fond memories of that song. Like if you go and look at any of the comments on, say, for instance, the YouTube video of that song, where people have so many memories over so many years attached to that song. And it's something that most South Africans would recognize because it was obviously used in that advert, that one Volkswagen advert back in the day.
Look, that ad made it. I sometimes say that Volkswagen saved my career and David Cromer's career.
But things not going well prior to then, or
no? I mean, we were all coasting, but then when our songs got put onto Volkswagen ads, It really worked. It propelled you up a couple of notches into the psyche of the South African psyche. You know what I mean? Basically, I brought out the album. I had two friends that paid for the album. No record company was interested. And then that was the first single, and nobody wanted to play it. Then a guy put it on the ad, and then suddenly everybody started playing it. But prior to that, I always knew it was a really good song.
I wonder how that person who turned you down felt about that suddenly becoming one of the biggest, you know, one of the biggest hits of its time. Like, especially like within the local scene. Like, I would have loved to see it, to know that conversation.
But you know what? One of our biggest radio stations, it's so interesting. Like, for instance, you know, Sex on Fire, that song?
Yeah.
It was like massive all over the world, but it wasn't played on Radio 5. Who? Oh, then there was the Iron Man promo that had Iron AC/DC in it. And Radio 5 also said, no, they don't want to, they don't like the music doesn't fit them. So they, you know, it's just these fucking short-sighted, weird, crazy shit.
Yeah, I get you. I get what you're saying, like, with it being short-sighted. And it feels more like someone's just personal power plays than an actual overall, like, well-thought-out decision. It seems like someone just, especially when it comes down to that, where it seems like a very specific type of thing that's being excluded and then being included later when it becomes a big deal.
Yeah, it's spineless. You know, the thing is, there was a music explosion in the 90s, basically thanks to Barney Simon. Right? He did it all on his own because there was a connection between the live scene, and he would advertise where the gigs were and he would play the music. So there was this big synergy, and it was the radio, I don't know, but that was really quite amazing. We kind of need something like that again.
I think Barney Simon was like one of the first like advocates of local alternative music. Like, he was just, like you said, he was that connection between sort of the mainstream and the playability of it to the actual artists themselves versus the public.
Yeah, I think what we need in a way is, in Europe, you get a thing called Songkick. And that is, if you go on it, you can check out where all the bands are playing. Now, in where we live, there's no more real radio. The radio isn't really very good, and there's no more real newspaper. Nobody advertises. Nobody listens to radio.
Yeah.
There's no more a focal point of where you can create new artists or stuff like that, or advertise, except for on Facebook or your own sites. So what we need is, in a way, like an app, entertainment app, where if you're into to theater, ballet, art exhibitions, or whatever, connected to map on your of the country, and then artists will just for free put on wherever what is happening, where, and wherever you drive, it will alert you to where what is happening. It depends on what you're into and stuff like that. I think that's a very cool idea.
That would be a rad idea. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, what you can get is, you can get, you know, you get the Standard Bank artists, or you get banks that is very much into the art, upliftment of South African art and culture and stuff like that. You get them to invest in it, so it becomes a non-profit thing, type of thing. So it's a kind of a tax write-off for somebody, and then nobody needs to pay, and it's just a good thing.
I'd say that the problem with that, though, is that people would just generally be too greedy. Like, someone, no one's really going to do that out of the kindness of their heart, especially for the scale that it would need to be.
But you must remember, it is a tax write-off for some people, for some big businesses. And if it is for the upliftment of the entertainment, the cultural thing for the country, ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding. I get you. But will someone actually, you know, hop on the idea is the biggest thing. Yeah. And then, just circling back to like the Nude Goals and then your selfie solo project, do you have any new plans of music coming up?
So for this year, it's our 30-year, you know, existence. So basically, our first album, Nanothal 1, was never mastered because we didn't know what it was. They phoned us from America when they pressed our albums, or the CDs, right? And the guy phoned us and he said, did you guys, is this the master? And we said, yes. I mean, it's the master, right? The fact is, we were so fucking green, we didn't know that you had to master an album. So this year we're going to master the album for the first time and then put it out as an LP, or 1,000, and we'll sell probably 1,000 LPs just as a celebration. And then for the first time we can hear what the album would sound like if it's actually mastered, which is quite cool, I think. And then we are slowly but surely booking time in a studio. And I've been writing since last year. And I'm writing constantly with the Nude Girls in mind. I don't know. I'm not at the moment pissing out fantastic songs. You know, you go through these things, but you just keep going, and then they eventually do come.
No, absolutely. You gotta keep writing, keep going.
Sometimes you just want to start singing in Klingon. But I actually, so I'm putting out my second little Afrikaans offering now. It's coming out in 2 weeks. Because I did one Afrikaans album 5-7 years ago, and it was quite an interesting experience, you know, because I've been doing English albums my whole life, and then suddenly doing an Afrikaans album was quite a very interesting experience.
Yeah, and that was the one that you guys did at the Shack. I mean, there was a live recording at the Shack. Was that one that you released 7 years ago?
No, not the Nuclears. That was my solo capacity. I brought out an album called En Blomp Daarting. It was a very interesting process because I had to block some images out of my head, right? Some cultural hang-ups. So I was listening to Storchen & Neubauten, Blixa Bargu, and Theater of Something, brought out an album in Italian and German. And it was just absolutely fantastic. And I would listen to that, and I would enjoy the Italian and the German. And then I would put it off and write in Afrikaans. And then you got a different angle on the language. And that was a wonderful experience. You know, it was almost like meeting having a different encounter with a friend that I've known for years. And it was really beautiful.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to have a chat with me. In closing, where can people find you? Where can people find your music? And yeah, just drop the links and the handles.
Okay, cool. I'm on X, Arno Carstens, you know, whatever. And then on Instagram, Facebook. What is that other thing where people make little videos?
TikTok?
TikTok? I'm not on it, but I've activated it. But what the fuck must I do on it, man? What do people do on that?
My experience is the more unhinged the content, the better. I don't know. This just seems to be...
I'm boring, man. I love... the less I do, the better. So.
All the best, Arno. Thank you so much for taking the time to have a chat with me on this Tuesday afternoon.
Cheers, man.